Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Let's turn to Acts 9. We're going to read verses 10 through 16. Say amen when you're there. Amen. All right. It says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." For my name's sake. With the Lord's help this morning, I would like to speak on that last bit. For his name's sake. For his name's sake. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you, Lord. I worship you and I glorify you. I thank you for your love and your mercy, your grace. I thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. I thank you for the Holy Ghost anointing and a chance of salvation. I pray, Lord, that you speak through me this morning. Touch these lips of clay. Use me, Lord. Let your word go forth and fall on good ground. Have your will and your way in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray. I give you all the glory and all the honor. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Jesus, I praise your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For his name's sake, for his name's sake. In our verse that we just read here, we see a lot happening. We see, obviously, a conversation between the Lord and Ananias. But we see Ananias kind of open up and kind of give his heart and his feelings to the Lord, saying, "Hey, you realize who you're asking me to go talk to? This guy just not too terribly long ago stood there full consent and approval of the stoning of Stephen. He stood there and held the coats while Stephen was stoned. This guy is putting to death people that are going by his name, by Jesus' name." He says, "So, Lord, you realize I'm going to step out and put myself in danger here by going to this man. Are you sure this Saul of Tarsus is the one you want me to go and pray over?" And God says, "Look, go, because he is a chosen vessel. I'm going to use this chosen vessel to minister to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel." God said, "I'm going to use this vessel. Yes, he seems like a dangerous vessel right now, but I'm going to use this vessel to minister to the world for my name's sake." But he also tells Ananias that he is going to show Saul at this time. He said, "I'm going to show Saul the great things that he will need to suffer for my name's sake." So that he's not only going to be ministering, but there's going to be suffering in his walk. And we see that after this scripture verse, Ananias does go. And he prays over Saul. And it's as if scales fall off of his eyes and he receives his sight. He's baptized in Jesus' name, receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he stays with the disciples for a little bit. And then, just a short time later, it says a few days later, this guy that was on his way to Damascus to bind those that were calling on the name is now in the synagogue preaching the name. God turned him around for his name's sake. You see, even when Saul was persecuting the church, he was doing it as unto the one true living God. He was doing it according to the law. And he believed with all his heart. He was serving God the way that God was wanting him to serve. But one thing that's really neat is when he gets the okay to go to Damascus, God blinds him. And I think that's a really unique way to turn somebody around. It's like, why would God choose blinding him to open his eyes? And I was like, that's exactly it. He was blinded by the truth, or from the truth, I should say. He was blinded. He could not see that the Jesus Christ of Nazareth that he was persecuting is the one true God that he believes he's backing up. So God blinds his eyes, but when he's prayed over and he takes on the name of Jesus, he applies it to his life, his eyes are now open. Now he sees the truth. He can see again in the natural, but now he's seeing through the spiritual as well. And so we know that from that point, just a few days later, he's in the synagogue preaching the name of Jesus. He's ministering, and that's just the beginning. As hard and as fervent and as strong and as sincere as he was pushing to persecute these Christians that were calling on the name of Jesus, this dude turns around and goes to the Gentiles. He goes to kings. He goes to the children of Israel and preaches, hey, the one that I was persecuting, the one that I thought was blaspheming, is really the Christ. He is the Savior. He is the one that was prophesied over. And in our opening verse there, the last verse that we read, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul, once he converts from persecuting to receiving the Holy Ghost and teaching the name of Jesus, he has a name change as well. And when he has the name change, after a while, he starts writing letters to the churches. And we see in Corinthians, I kind of appreciate Paul for putting this in a nice list for us, but he goes through those sufferings that God spoke of to Ananias. So in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 33, he lists these things. And we'll read them. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Isn't that interesting? You go from stoning Stephen to he ends up getting stoned himself, but he survives. He's left as dead, but he survives. So once stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. He just lists a whole lot of things, and he goes on. We'll continue in a bit, but I want to pause here. There's glory in my infirmities. This dude, he says, hey, I just went through all these things. I've been beaten by my own people. I've been shipwrecked. I've been imprisoned. I've done this and this and this and this and this has happened to me. And he ain't complaining about it. He's just listing you as a matter of fact. This is what's happened to me. I've even been left for dead. But at the same time, there's glory in my infirmities. And it's not my glory, but it's for his name's sake that these things are happening. I'm going through these trials. I'm going through these tribulations for his name's sake. Yes, it's hard on my flesh. Yes, I don't understand it sometimes. Sometimes it don't make sense what I'm going through. There's no understanding, no reason, but I know that in my infirmities, there's glory for his name's sake. I'm still being able to minister to the church. I'm still being an example to those around me. I'm still seeing those come in and be saved. For his name's sake, I'm going through these things. So we'll pick up verse 31. It says, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed, for everyone knoweth that I lie not. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making these things up. I really did go through this. In Damascus, the governor, so shortly after he gets converted, he goes preaching in the synagogue. Well, they don't like that. So in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Look, he even had to run from a king right after he got converted. I mean, as they say in business, he hit the ground running. There wasn't any time for learning or picking up. But I believe in this example, I mean, he already knew. He was trained up from his youth as who God is, what God is, which is why he was persecuting so hard. He was committed. He was consecrated. He knew what he was doing and why he was doing it. So that's Paul. That's Paul. I want to look at a verse. It's 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 23. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish is unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. So there's two types of vessels. There's some to honor and some to dishonor. And we can choose. We, each one of us, have to choose of our own self. Am I going to be a vessel to be honored and sanctified unto the Lord? Or am I going to be a vessel that's dishonored? We see that God calls Paul as a chosen vessel to suffer, but to be used for his name's sake, to minister to the world at that time. But we also, in Scripture, we find another story. We see the rich young ruler. I'm going to go ahead and read through this Scripture. is Matthew 19:16-22. It says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Jesus said, hey, give away everything that represents you. Sacrifice it at all for my name's sake. Pick up your cross and follow me. Become a servant. Become a vessel that's able to be used. Paul, in one instant, gave it all. He turned around and he said, hey, I realized the error of my way. I realized that this Jesus, he's the one that I need to be pursuing after. This Jesus is the one I need to be teaching in the synagogue, even though I just left the synagogue a little bit ago with permission to go arrest and bind and bring people to Jerusalem to be stoned for Jesus' namesake. Now I'm going to go into that same place and preach Jesus' namesake. This young man, all God asked him to do was give up his earthly wealth and follow him. He said, if you give up this, sell all that you have and you give it to the poor, he said, you're going to have treasure in heaven. And if you want to be perfect, if you want to go that next level, after you sell all that you have, after you've got treasure in heaven, come and follow me. But that was too much to ask. That was too much for this rich young ruler. He went away sorrowful. I don't know his story later on in life. I don't know if he clung to his riches till the day he died. I hope not. I hope not. I hope sometime it come back around and they said, hey, that guy that you said good master, he was a little more than a good master. He was the Savior. He was Christ walking on this earth in flesh and blood. He is Jesus, and now you have an opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost. You have an opportunity to apply his name to your life. For his name's sake, give up these things. So I ask you, where are we today? Where are we today? Are you in a place of the mind of Paul saying, I'm going to suffer whatever I need to suffer. I'm going to go through whatever I need to go through. I'm going to pick up that cross. I'm going to pick up my own cross and follow him. Or am I going to cling to these things that I hold so dear in my flesh? Jesus, I praise your name. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself daily. He's saying, hey, I die daily. I'm putting this flesh on that cross for his name's sake. For his name's sake, every step I make, I'm moving towards the goal. He speaks later also in saying that I have run this race set before me with patience. I have made it. I have reached the end of my race. He was getting ready to be executed. He's saying, hey, I'm finished. I've done what God has set before me for his name's sake, not for my glory, but for his name's sake. For his name's sake. If you guys don't mind, do you have that photo to share? All right. So, last Sunday we were in Guatemala City. We were there for Mabel's eldest sister's birthday. But on Sunday, we were able to go out to a church. And I can tell you, I'm not going to get too into the side things, but I can tell you God is doing things in our family. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. But this right here, this man, his name is Antonio Hernandez. When we walked into the church, I sent some videos to Pastor. This church is like next level on beauty. And I'm not talking about the structure, because it's cement with paint slapped on it. But when you walk in, on the front side, it says Iglesia Pentecostal Unidad de Guatemala, Hecos 2:32. United Pentecostal Church of Guatemala, Acts 2:38. And then you walk down into the parking garage. And as you walk down to the parking garage, you look straight across and you see the mountain range of Guatemala City with a volcano. It's beautiful. It's breathtaking. And I was like, wow. Well, I told Mabel, I said, hey, I'm running back out to the street because I've got to get a video of this place. It's crazy. And I get a video, and I'm coming down wanting to get a video of mountains, and this man stops me. And he says, hey, who are you? He says, and I said, oh, I'm a guest here. I'm Nathaniel. And he's like, oh, good. He said, I don't know who you are, and you're dressed nice, but coming into my church with a camera, he said, you scared me for a second. I didn't know if you were part of the bad group or not. And I was like, I'm good. And he says, well, let me show you. So he takes us upstairs, and he shows us that they're building the church and that we're having church in the parking garage right now because the main sanctuary is still under construction upstairs. We come down, and he goes his way, and Mabel and I come together, and there we see a plaque on the wall, and we go over, and we're looking at it, and we're reading it, and it's a plaque saying, giving honor to this man and his wife. And we read it, and it says, thank you for the many years of service. And as we're reading this, an older man from the congregation comes up as he sees that we're interested in finding out what's going on here. And he says, you see this man? You see this man? He said, this man has dedicated his life to serving God. He said, back in the early 1970s, he said, this man found me and told me about Jesus. He said, if it weren't for that man, he said, I would not be standing here talking to you right now. He said, and for the past 40 years, this man and his wife have built more churches in Guatemala than he could count. He couldn't tell us how many churches that him and his wife have built. He said, this man and his wife's parents passed away. And when his wife's parents passed away, she gained an inheritance of property. in Guatemala, if you own property, you own something. They sold a portion of the property so that they could have money to build yet another church. Not too long ago, this man fell. They were working on building this church here, and he fell at the construction site. They said he broke, I want to say it was 6 ribs. He broke, and he smashed his head. And they thought he was dead. They didn't think he was going to come out. I mean, as you see in the photo, he is a very elderly man. I mean, if he was, no offense to the older crowd in the church, but if he was saving souls back in the early 70s, he's been around a little bit. Well, he recovered from the fall, but since then he has had 3 either seizures or strokes. It was hard in the translation. But yet at the same time, he's still in his right mind enough to know who God is and worship God. So service starts. And music, the worship team's going, the worship is moving, and Brother Antonio Hernandez walks up, feeble, but he picks up an accordion and starts playing, starts worshiping, and God starts speaking to me. He says, I want you to look around you to this congregation, and I want to show you something. This man is coming close to the end of his race. He's given so much. He's sacrificed so much for his name's sake. But he said, look around you to others. And I looked, and there are some that are new converts. Their race is just starting. But there's others that they are there. They're established. But this is what hurt. He said, look at some of these. They're called, they're chosen vessels. But they're showing up Sunday after Sunday, playing church. We're going through the motion. We get into a routine. We come up, we do our worship service, and then we do our offering. We may sing another song. We get up and we listen to a good sermon, and we say, wow, that was good. We'd come down to the altar and pray for a little bit. But we've gotten into a comfortable routine. I said, are you? Are you suffering for my name's sake? Are you giving all you've got? Jesus asked the rich young ruler, sell all your possessions. He said, give me your all and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. He said, give me your all. You know, a cross, it sounds nice to say, oh, I'm going to pick up the cross and follow him. A cross is not a beautiful thing. It's bloody, it's gory, it's a thing of torture and of death. It's a crucifying of oneself. God said, be leery. I'm warning you, I'm giving you a warning. Be leery of comfortable Christianity. Don't get into a comfortable routine. I'm not aggrandizing this man. His honor and his glory is God's. But he is an example, a living example that I witnessed. That a man that has given his all to further the kingdom of God for his name's sake. So I want to ask us this morning, where am I? Where are you? Have I gotten into a comfortable routine where I show up Sunday morning for a good Bible study, and then a good worship service and a message from pastor so that I can go home and feel good? Or am I giving it my all? Pastor, you said this morning, you just preached recently about getting out there and witnessing, for the time is short. This goes right in with it. It's time for us to pick up our cross. Make sure, and I'm not here to slander anybody. I'm not here beating us up. I just want us to do a self-check. Say, where am I? Lord, am I right with you? Lord, is there something that you're asking me to give you that I'm withholding? Is there some kind of riches, if you will, that you're asking me to sell, to give away, so that I can be used of you, that I can suffer, if you will, for your name's sake? I know here in the United States, man, we are so blessed. I can tell you, we don't even realize how blessed we are in the United States. So, so blessed. I mean, we can come and fellowship. I told you, when I come down, he was afraid that I had a camera. Who is this guy walking into my church with a camera? Man, if somebody shows up here with a camera, more power to them. I'm not afraid of it. We're not afraid of it. But the point is God is calling us to a place. He says, hey, the time is short. There's souls to be won. There's work in the kingdom to do. Are you going to work in the kingdom? Are you going to give it your all?
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.